tissue?
Yes, I do. I do have tissue. You must. I'll get you one if I don't have one. It is. There's a security.
Okay, there's security.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and get rolling. Good evening and welcome to the July 23rd, 2025 regular meeting of the Planning Commission. Mr. Clerk, could you please call the roll?
Thank you, Chair. Commissioner Windiger?
Here.
Commissioner McCarty is absent. Commissioner Abbey?
Here.
Commissioner Zucker?
Here.
Commissioner Comden is absent. Vice Chair Busa is absent. Chair Lagerquist?
Here.
We do have a quorum.
Thank you. Moving on, our next item is public communications, where we set aside time for the public to address the commission on items that are not on the agenda. Mr. Clerk, do we have any public speakers this evening?
Thank you, Chair. We do not.
Thank you. All right, so we're going to move to our consent item, which is the approval of the Planning Commission June 17th, 2025 meeting minutes. Do any commissioners have comments on these minutes?
I was absent, so I'm going to abstain.
Okay. Can we vote on it?
You can vote on it. There's a distinction between abstaining for due to a conflict, which makes the member abstaining no longer part of the quorum for voting purposes, versus abstaining for the reason for other reasons. That person still counts towards the quorum. We would still need a majority of the quorum.
So it would be three. Three and abstain.
Exactly.
Got it. Okay.
So would it get approved, though, if it was not four?
No, they'll be approved.
Yeah, it has to be a majority of the members present.
Majority, okay. I'll move to approve.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I second.
Great. Could I get a roll vote?
Yes. Your motion and a second to approve the minutes. Commissioner Windiger?
Approve.
Commissioner Abbey?
Yes.
Commissioner Zucker?
Abstain.
And Chair Lagerquist?
Yes.
Three ayes. Carries.
Thank you. All right, so we'll move on to our public hearing item for this evening, which is the Project 230478, Del Sol Phase 5, Major Design Review and Tentative Map Exception and Warrant, located at 10861 Blackburn Road. I'm just going to... Do any planning commissioners have ex parte communications on this item? Okay. So I'm just going to move on to our staff to go ahead and present. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Chairman Lagerquist and members of the Planning Commission. My name is Valerie Darbus, Principal Planner with the Community Development Department. As you mentioned, the case before you tonight is Project 23-0478. The last and final phase of the Del Sol housing development. The proposed project is located, as you mentioned, in the Santa Clara and Wells specific plan, which extends from Telegraph Road to the Santa Clara River. The site is zoned urban general, or T3.3. The code defines the neighborhood general zone for Aventura as a consisting of a mix of uses with a wide range of building types. The general plan land use designation for the T33 is neighborhood low, which allows 0 to 8 units per acre. The project represents a small parcel of development nestled between Highway 126 to the south and Wells Road to the east, as well as south of the parkland specific plan already in development. The parkland specific plan planned the development of a residential community that anticipated 499 dwelling units with recreational amenities. The parkland specific plan lives within the Saticoy and Wells specific plan and is regulated with its own set of standards. The site, however, to be developed in four phases by Shea Homes. Phase one was named Parklands, and phase two through four were renamed Del Sol. Phase four, as such, this project, although outside of the parkland, a specific plan is referred to as Del Sol Phase 5. So on the screen are pictures of the existing conditions. At the bottom is the boundary of the project site in question. To your left is a picture of the terminus of Blackburn Road on the east end of the street. Next to that is a view from the north of Phase 4 and the future of Phase 5. And to the right of the screens are pictures of the terminus of Citrus Drive that connects to Wells Road. Above are pictures of some of the homes that have been built in previous phases. So in order to pursue the development of this remaining parcel, the project requires a major design review and a tentative map for condominium purposes, as each unit on the property will be sold as a condominium unit. Additionally, the project includes a request from an exception to modify the T3.3 building placement standard and a request for a warrant, to modify the building type standard that is allowed by the Saticoy and Wells specific plan. Building placements refers to the required minimum setback from the building to the property line, and building type is, as indicated in its name, refers to the building form as viewed from the street and its access from the building to the street. Historically, the property was used first as a farmhouse and later occupied used as a residence. Due to delayed negotiation between the property owner at the time and the developer of the planned community, the parcel was not incorporated into the development and as such remained subject to the Saticoy and Wells specific plan development standards. The existing parcel would be adjacent to the existing tract, which is approximately one acre in size, and would connect to the existing tract phase four by its street system, which includes public alleys to the north and west and a standard street system to the east, which will become Pismo Lane and the extension of Blackburn Road to the south. So in keeping with the allowed building types and frontage types of the T3.3 zone and the drainage requirement of the remaining parcel, the units were arranged around a courtyard to serve the permitted 8 units with access onto public alleys that proposed as part of Phase 4. This would allow the developer to maximize the use of the land and avoid creating a new street. Introducing an additional roadway would take away valuable land from the private property and reduce the number of units allowed. Since no legal lot boundary exists to separate each dwelling unit proposed other than a fence, the lot boundaries become the outer boundaries of the tract. With Pismo Lane side being the shorter side and fronting a street, the eastern boundary of the tract becomes the front property line, thereby designating the other sides as side and rear for the purpose of measuring building setbacks. So the site is fairly level with Blackburn Road and Highway 126, but will be raised approximately 6 feet, necessitating a retaining wall along the driveway on the south side that provides access to lots 5, 6, 7, and 8, as well as along the front yard of lots 1 and 8. The grade also increased The grade also increases in an east-west direction, which will require a slight graded incline between lots 1, 2, 3, and 4, and a retained incline between lots 5, 6, 7, and 8. The retaining walls are conditioned not to exceed 6 feet of walls face above the highest grade. So the proposed project was presented to the DRC, Design Review Committee, at their April 2nd, 2025 public hearing. After discussing the project, the DRC made a motion to recommend approval with one minor recommendation pertaining to fencing. A condition was added to the resolution to require the use of the wood fencing instead of vinyl fencing, where no masonry walls are required to separate the private yards. And I'll discuss the revision to that condition shortly. As mentioned earlier, the property was developed with a farm's house, which was subject to a historical review. After reviewing the project, no historical significance was found, and the structure was demolished, leaving the property ripe for development. So the units were found to be akin to a front yard house design as building type and a common yard design as a frontage type, which are permitted in the specific plan. The houses are designed with attached and detached two-car garages. The lots with detached garages are designed as such to accommodate a second-story accessory dwelling unit with one additional parking space. The two-story building type aims at providing a compact development with common areas that supplement the individual private spaces that will be ultimately maintained by a homeowners association. The building placement creates an environment that encourages activities in common for the residents of the tract. Vehicle access is proposed from either an alley or private driveway. The driveway option was used to avoid having to create another street and to also create more separations between the residents from Blackburn Road and Highway 126, a more traveled roadway. So despite the compact design of the development, the building type and building placement standards are not met for all the lots. In this case, the exception applies to lots 1 and 8 for their reduced front yard, which is shown on the screen with these little red circles. They're reduced from 1 to 188. And then the side yard for lots 1, 2, and 3, and the rear yard for lots 4 and 5. The warrant applies to lots 2 through 7 for not providing a direct access from the lot to the street. So the project includes three floor plan types, plans 2, 7, and 9. They're numbered after the existing tract development, with two stories, either with an attached or detached garage, as I mentioned earlier. So the project uses three floor plans, 2, 7, and 9, with eight possible architectural elevations and styles that will remain within 27 feet in height. Plan 2 uses a moderate design with an entry on the side of the building and a balcony patio cover in the front. Plan 2 is used for lots 1 and 2 along the eastern property line. Plan 7 is used for two lots along the west side of the track with three architectural styles, including Craftsman, Gill, and Coastal. The design offers symmetrical design with a centered covered entry. The remaining lots will use the architectural side of Plan 9. They include Spanish, Monterey, Craftsman, and Coastal styles of architecture. These styles are equivalent to the Mediterranean, Craftsman, and Beach Cottage of the Parkland specific plan. So on the screens are the colors that of the colors and material board that were associated with each architectural styles. They include materials such as stucco, Spanish tiles, S tiles of a different color, concrete flat tiles with stone veneer, and decorative tiles. Each design comes with a variety of color combination, all very similar to those shown on the screen. So here on the screen are pictures of the Parklands residents that have already been built, showing an example of a courtyard area amongst the two-story residences. And this is an example of an alley that is provide access to garages. And to the right, also another picture demonstrated how the interior courtyard was designed on a slope, so with staircase, retaining walls, and handrails. So the applicant has provided also an exhibit for the lighting that is proposed outside. These are ground-mounted light fixtures, bell shape, which are in keeping with a dark sky approach to with a screen lens and low Kelvin temperature. So landscaping is also in keeping with the previous phases, with an interior courtyard, which serve as a catching rainwater, to serve to catch the rainwater, where trees are also proposed to create shade. The homeowners associate will maintain these areas. The project will be required to complete the sidewalk on Pismo Lane and Blackburn Road and add street trees for shade and screening. The track will provide also the previous track already existing was conditioned to create to build a sound wall along the length of the project along Highway 126 to further screen the project from view and noise. That wall is under construction and will be completed upon the completion of phase 4 and 5. Trees include strawberry trees, crepe myrtles, among others, all with low or moderate water use. The planting palette includes 28 species of shrubs, includes some turf for the active areas in the courtyard, and sedge for the bioswales area. So the project contributes to the city's RENA's numbers and fulfills the needs for additional residential units for a variety of income levels. The project does not provide affordable units, but is conditioned to contribute toward an in-lieu fee. The inclusionary housing requirement is 10% for the total base unit, restricted to moderate income level. As such, 0.08 unit would be required to be affordable. Instead, the developer will contribute $80,188 to the Housing Development Fund. The project was found to be exempt pursuant to CEQA, a categorical exemption 15332, which allows for small infill developments with no significant environmental impact. So before I conclude and submit staff's recommendation for this project, we wanted to bring to your attention a few revisions to conditions of approval that have been submitted to you and added it to your packet and were also provided to the applicant. And these conditions include a planning condition number 35, which added a language within the text of that condition pertaining, this condition pertains to creating an HOA and CCNRs. But we also need the approval of the city engineer. These standard conditions typically are attached to condominium developments, but also the applicant will be working with the engineering department to determine how to establish that HOA. Condition number 36, also a planning commission. The applicant has requested to not install the wood fencing as requested by the design review committee, but instead is requesting to install the same type of fencing that was used in phase 4. Those changes are made on the screen and proposed as part of your motion. And I apologize, the supplemental packet did not show that added language in the middle of the condition, which reads, the fences to match the fencing style approved in phase 4. Additionally, we wanted to point out that building and safety conditions were added to the overall project. These are standard conditions that pertain to requiring the project to comply with the building code, with water-efficient landscaping, and also all code requirements, a review of plans during the plan check process. Additionally, a condition was added to the Ventura Water condition number 91, which pertains to the installation of meters and utility connections from the street to the property. Condition 89 and 90 were removed in favor of condition 91. And condition 92, which becomes 92 following the changes, was revised as well to reflect the requirement for a manhole on site, as well as a manhole in the public right-of-way. So with these recommended changes to the conditions of approval, staff recommends the Planning Commission hold a public hearing and adopt the following resolution and approve case numbers MDR 1223032, TTM 1225006, exception number 0725010, and warrant 0325007, including amendments to planning conditions 35, 36, added building conditions, added building and safety conditions, and revised and added Ventura Water conditions 91 and 92. With that, that concludes my presentation. The applicant is here tonight to help answer your questions, as I am. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioners, we have questions. Go ahead.
Thank you, Valerie, for your presentation. Can we go over, I guess the best site plan is the landscaping plan, but I can't determine how they get access to the other four units. I see the alley from Pismo Drive, Pismo Lane, but I don't see, it looks like there's a
fence. You want the landscape plan or the site plan?
Yeah, okay, maybe the site plan, but I'm not seeing.
13?
Well, the site plan, is the track map is confusing too. That's a good plan. It looks like there's it says alley 26 and alley 27A, and then there looks like there's like a fence or something. It doesn't look like there's a thoroughfare there.
No. These are actually boundary lines, the white lines. You're referring to the dash white lines. These are not fencing. But so there's an alley that borders the project, alley 26. It hasn't been named. It remains alley 26 right now. That rear-loaded garages. Mm-hmm. So the gray area would define the alley pavement, and then the red area would be a walkway, sidewalk, and then the property line starts where the beige zone is, and that would be an entry to lots 1, 2, 3, and 4. So the garages on lots 1, 2, and 3 are attached to the residence, 4 is detached, and then you go south on Alley 27th, go around.
See, what's that pink line that looks like a fence?
Okay, so pink line is it's just a sidewalk that connects.
Oh, it's a sidewalk.
Lot 164
okay, all right.
Next door.
All right, yeah. Thank you.
And so access to 5, 6, 7, and 8 will require going over lot 164 to get into the driveway.
So there's only one access way. So if there's something going wrong on condo 8, house 8, they have to go all the way around.
So
to the other side.
There's a pedestrian access from lot 8 to the Pismo Lane, which will become the Easton Street.
Okay.
Right.
So they can
the vehicle
at least
would be through the driveway.
They can at least get out of that area. They can at least walk out of that area and get out of that area if they need to. Not necessarily drive around if there's some type of fire or something.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
And maybe to clarify, Commissioner, There were concerns about that driveway actually coming through. I think there were earlier iterations where that driveway was considered to come through, but it didn't meet the dimensions required by Public Works to be near Blackburn Road as an intersection, a fully accessible street.
Thank you.
Commissioner Zucker.
Thank you, Chair. I was curious about the ADUs. I think this is the first time I've seen like ADUs kind of built into a brand new plan for development before. I think that's really interesting. And so just to make sure I'm understanding it right, the ADUs are part of units 4 and 5, and it's just like they get a garage and there's like a little thing above it that they could rent out to a tenant or something? And
that's correct. So the bottom would be 2-car garage for the use of the resident, the primary residence. There would be an additional space for the unit, a staircase that leads to an ADU above the garage.
Got it. And does that affect any of the kind of density calculations or amount of units allowed on that site, or is it just...
No, this is technically allowed per our new accessory dwelling units, and it meets the maximum 20%, 25% of... Since this project is considered a multifamily development, the ordinance, current ordinance, requires a maximum of 25% unit to be an ADU unit. So this would be on top.
Got it. Great.
So these two, the project is maxed out in terms of the number of ADU it can provide.
Got it. And I was curious about the inclusionary housing. This is under our old IHO, right? Not kind of the one that was updated and passed?
Inclusionary housing.
Correct. The application came in, I think, roughly 2 years ago, so it fell under the prior inclusionary housing requirement.
At what point will we start seeing, do you think, projects that are kind of under the current IHO?
I believe if any applications have come in this year, those projects, when they eventually come to you, if they do come to you, would probably take a year or so. So that about that time frame, if they go through the normal process.
Okay, great. Yeah, I was just struck by $80,000 in lieu fees. I mean, that's supposed to generate almost an entire unit. I mean, I can't imagine any affordable housing developer on the planet that could build a 80% or even 50% of a housing unit with $80,000. And so I'm glad we, updated our HO. If I remember correctly, our in lieu fees would be stronger than that. But I think it's unfortunately kind of a disappointing amount of money. I mean, I guess you can't hold it against the applicant if that's what our code requires, but just struck by that. That's all my comments, thank you, or all my questions.
Thank you. Commissioner Abbey.
Thank you, Chair Lagerquist. Thank you, Valerie, for your presentation. I had a question about the change that came in last minute, number 36, regarding the fencing. In the staff report, it said that the DRC, obviously they're a recommending body, not an approving body, but they had recommended wood fencing, and that was what was in the original resolution, but now I'm seeing that that has changed. Who changed it?
That's correct. You're absolutely correct, Commissioner. The applicant has approached us after reviewing all the draft conditions of approval, has requested that this change be made. In discussing with the applicant's staff recommend supported the revision. That's why we were proposing this revision to include a fencing material that is more in keeping with the adjacent phases rather than focusing on requiring the use of wood.
Okay. Why is staffing, it might be just what you just said, but why is staff supporting that?
Well, for two reasons. One is that it's more aesthetically in keeping with what's existing, and two, it's also a home hardening measure, mitigation measure, which means that now more and more, because of fire restrictions, wood is not used around the property, the fencing. So we recommend some less... flammable material, if you will, and use something that would be that would not encourage the fire to and reach the, because these fences are going to be attached to the house, so okay. We want to make sure that these these vents are safer.
I'm just curious, since you brought up fire danger, is this in a fire zone? Or near a fire zone?
That's a good question. I don't believe this one is in a high fire zone, no.
Okay. All right, I was just curious. Let's see. This is built on 1 acre,
yes.
So because of the residential density allowed, it can go up to 8 units, and that's what's proposed, plus the 2 ADUs that don't count against the... Okay. I was curious, does Shea Homes own all of the other Del Sol 1 through 4 phases?
I'll let the applicant speak to that, but I believe so, yes.
Okay. I have some questions regarding, in page 6 of the findings, is resolution number 8, and then also in the findings of the resolution, page 10, finding number 17. We would probably have to bring those up individually, but I didn't quite follow the logic as to why the warrants and exceptions were being recommended by staff.
So you're referring to the tentative map findings?
I believe so. It's on page 6 of the resolution, at least as it was prior to it being revised. But I think even with the revised, it's on page 6 of the resolution itself, on page 7 of the number of the page, but it's page 6 of the resolution.
So this condition refers to the suitability of the site.
It's resolution 8.
For the density, the proposed density.
Oh, okay, so number 8, it's page 6 of 35, it says that the site is not physically suitable for the proposed density, right, of development, and then there's some logic laid out, and I didn't quite follow the logic. I don't know if I'm the only one or if there are other commissioners who had questions in regard to resolution 8 and 17.
Well, we believe that the size is sufficient enough to provide 8 units. The specific plan and the general plan allow for that density. It is physically possible because it's level. It can be developed with all the utilities and access, vehicle access to the site. Well, are you referring to the statement about the setback? Let's see.
Well, yeah.
That would be.
It's requiring setbacks. Yeah, I'm not as concerned about the warrant or exception in regards to the front facing, because basically we have a bungalow setup, and to me that's fine, and so I can justify that. I'm just having trouble justifying. So let me follow the logic. There's 8 units. It's 1 acre, so they're required to get 8. And staff is saying because of the configuration of this land, they're entitled to 8, and they can only get to 8 if we, I want to try to use the right word, compromise the setback standards?
That's correct.
That's the only way to get there.
Yes. And then also also considering that the applicant is offering the interior courtyard, so to provide recreational amenities to the occupants, but also to serve as a drainage area to substantiate to support the development of the parcel.
Okay, and then on page 11. This is probably similar to 8, so I'll just just as quickly as I can. The parcel of property has physical characteristics so unusual that complying with the evaluation standard would create an exceptional hardship to the applicant. Characters must be unique to the property, not be shared by adjacent parcels. Is it basically the same logic?
Yes, and the fact that this is a remaining parcel that was basically forced to adapt to its and to its surroundings. There's already two alleys, one street, trying to put eight units on the site and serve each units and be able to use these alleys and access. So, in order to avoid having to create a new street and use what was existing, the applicant was had some constraint into the design of those units. It happened to be a similar design that was on previous phases, but there was some constraint as to how to make these units fit and make them accessible from outside.
Okay, those are my questions for now. Thank you for your answers.
Commissioner Zucker?
Sorry to go for another bite at the apple here. I just had a couple more questions that thought of as Commissioner Abbey was speaking. This project, the in lieu fees that it generates aren't enough to set it up for any kind of density bonus, right? So the exceptions are just being kind of asked, at the discretion of the city. They're not being kind of mandated under state density bonus law.
The applicant is not using a density bonus law. So these are exceptions and warrants because it's similar to the equivalent of a major and minor variance. It's not a concession or waiver per density law.
Great. Thank you. That's helpful. And then I was wondering, it seems like some of the logic is to get these units in here and do the setbacks smaller on the sides is to create more open space in the middle for that kind of courtyard and the bungalow court design, which I like. But the open space, would there normally be an open space requirement for a project like this of any kind?
Not for that one.
Okay.
No.
So this is kind of exceeding the open space that would be otherwise.
Yes, the applicant is providing that in addition to
Thank you.
The residential units.
Okay, I have a couple questions. One, could you go back to the, I think it was condition 35? I just wanted to look at that again really quick. So South Shahomer's equivalent governing entity the sentence does not make sense with the addition.
So the reason why this language was added is because we want to have the applicant continue working with the engineering department to determine how the HOA will be structured or the CCNRs will be structured. They have been a lot of history behind this project, this development. And so these are standard conditions that the planning department typically puts when there is a condominium project. A lot had been discussed and arranged. There's also an assessment district that has been established with HOAs and CCNRs that we don't want to conflict with. And so in discussing with the applicant, we wanted to give the opportunity to the applicant to continue working with the engineering department. So these are standard conditions for planning, but in the event that they need to be modified because arrangements have been made with previous phases, the applicant can continue to do that.
So is there an option to not have an HOA?
So there will be an HOA. It's just the way it's going to be structured.
So maybe it should just be and other communal improvements, comma, as determined by the city engineer. Because the way it's written, it makes it sound like it's either going to be an HOA or it's going to be something that's determined by the city engineer.
Okay, we could reword. Um, Just remove or.
Communal improvements, comma, as determined by the city engineer.
That probably is more appropriate.
Okay. And then my other question, if you could go back to the, I think you just had it up with the showing the, like the landscaping communal area in the middle, the plan view, yes. So this project seems really cut off. I mean, so it doesn't have the same amenities that the other parts of the development have, right? Doesn't the other part of the development, they have like parks and there's a couple, I can't remember, but yeah. It seems like there was, you know, some area park areas and stuff. So this seems really cut off. Are we not concerned that this kind of isolates this small little community? Like, first of all, do they have access to those same amenities? Can they go walk around and go to the parks? And I think there were grills and I can't remember what mm-hmm. the amenities were, but are these residents going to be allowed to use those amenities?
So I'm going to let the applicant speak to all the details on the CCNRs, but you are absolutely right that there are other pools, parks, amenities. Now, this site cannot accommodate. It's too small to accommodate
amenities. But the way it's laid out, it's cutting it off from the residents. Like they have to, I mean, I guess they can walk out of their garage and then walk around. It just feels like it's cutting it off as opposed to making it part of the greater community.
I see. I understand.
Just asking about that. But yeah, we can talk a little bit more with the applicant.
Sure.
Any other questions? Does the applicant have a presentation? Great.
Yes, they do. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Sam Kavon. I'm a community development manager with Shea Homes. And thank you, staff, for your presentation. Our first slide shows our Novato floor plan, which recently won two Golden Nugget Awards, which are awards that are given for home builders as far as the design. So you can see our award winner here is our Novato Plan 5. All right, next slide, please. The Del Sol community comprises three different product types, Fresco, Novato, and Primero. The community consists of over 300 lots. We've already successfully closed over 20 Fresco lots, 57 Novato lots, and 56 Primero townhome units. Next slide, please. Here's an overall view of the site, which hopefully will provide a little more context to the Blackburn parcel and its location. Question was brought up earlier. The Blackburn parcel and the future residents of that part of the development will have access to the recreation center, to the parks, to all the amenities that all the other residents of the community enjoy. So that will comprise phase 2, 3, and 4. Next slide, please. Here we have a drone photo showing some of the more recent developments. You can kind of see the rec center and the large park more towards the center of the photo. And you can see our development continuing south there, where we have homes that are currently under construction in phase 4. The Blackburn parcel is not visible, unfortunately, on this photo, but it is a little bit further south of where that photo was taken. And as far as ownership, phases 2, 3, 4, and of course the Blackburn parcel phase 5 are owned by Shea. Phase 1 has a different ownership. Next slide, please. This plan shows a little bit further zoomed out, shows a little bit more about the access. I know there were some questions on that previously. So all units will be able to access from a vehicular perspective from the alleys off of Pismo Lane, Alley 26, and ultimately Alley 27. Pedestrian access to the front entry of the homes is primarily gained through the pedestrian walkway and the paseo that is in the center of the development there. Next slide, please. The two Novato homes, which will be at units 1 and 8, consist of our Plan 2, which is more suited for corner units with more of a side entry, which speaks more to the conditions that we have at this location, which provides a better access for the future residents of the of those two specific units. The next slide is Plan 7. This is our fresco, which is more of a, has both alley loading and conventional access as well. So consists of 2,700 to around 3,500 square feet. And then our Plan 9 as well, which is our units 4 and 5, which also included the ADUs that were referenced previously. This is a current photo of our recreation center, which, as I mentioned, is available to the residents of the community, including Phase 5. Next slide, please. Here we have some more visuals of the paseos and builder, or Shea Homes as the builder installs landscaping, including landscaping within the alleys as well. Here we have a plant palette showing just some of the landscaping materials that we've used throughout the community to date. Here at this site plan, we have the parkways, which are part of a maintenance assessment district. So the parkways that run along Pismo Lane and Blackburn Lane were already approved and contemplated prior to this development. Did also want to make a quick note about the fencing. And the request to go to a vinyl or block wall combination. So our position is that as far as consistency for the remainder of the community, all the adjoining uses all show vinyl and block wall. So for consistency's sake, as far as a visual, our objective was to maintain that. Furthermore, we do believe that vinyl as a material requires less maintenance and is used from recycled materials as well. Which ultimately will benefit our future residents as far as maintenance and usage. Just have a quick snippet here of our CC&Rs. Phase 5 is referenced at the bottom of that document. If you're able to see, Parcel 1 was what this parcel was initially referred to and is shown to be an annexable property as part of the CC&Rs. So it Our intention is for this to be part of the existing CC&Rs, and in fact, it has always been that intention since the outset of the project. These are some photos of some of our existing ADU units, which we have already developed at, I believe this one is in phase three of the project. This may be a time to discuss our condition of approval number 37, which we are requesting to potentially have revised to have a 23 feet 9 inch height allowance on these ADUs, which impact two of the ADUs within our development. Again, the goal being to have this be consistent with what has been developed throughout the community thus far, and maintain that same uniformity as far as how ADUs and the homes in general are being constructed and built. So I don't know if we want to discuss that now or we can kind of discuss that at the end of my presentation, but that actually was the second to last slide. My last slide is just to thank you all for your time, and we really appreciate any feedback and questions at this time.
I'm going to, before we discuss that point specifically, I'm going to give the commissioners a chance to ask questions of the applicant. Are there any questions? No? Okay, so I had one question. Can you point out again where the walls will be, the vinyl or the block walls?
Yes, we could. So we do have, as staff mentioned, we do have the retaining walls, which are typically block walls. We do have privacy walls, which would be, and fencing, which would be between the units.
Okay.
In like side yards, and sometimes at the rear yards as well. So.
Okay. And so the proposed sidewalks, are they just in the green area, the common area in the front, and then they go out to the sidewalk on Pismo? Are those the only sidewalks?
So the sidewalk will sort of loop around the paseo, will provide pedestrian access to all units and will connect with the sidewalk, the public right-of-way. Was that your question? Sorry, I may have misheard.
So, well, I mean, I guess I'm asking, is there a sidewalk around, is there a sidewalk along the alleys?
No, there's no sidewalk in the alleys. I did want to clarify that. We do have pavers and concrete in the alleys. I believe there was a photo of an existing alley that we could also take a look at, which may provide. It may have been in staff's presentation, yeah. But yeah, there's no sidewalks in the alleys. Just wanted to clarify that point. The sidewalks, for example, from Pismo Lane would connect directly with the sidewalk that would provide pedestrian access to the Paseo. That kind of loops around and then goes back out towards Pismo.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's a sidewalk along Blackburn Road as well.
And then is there a fence all the way around the perimeter on the alleys, all three alleys? Do the units have a...
Yes, there will be block walls or fence, mm-hmm. combinations of all of that for the surroundings, yes.
Okay. Were there any other questions? Do you guys have any questions? Did you want to talk about the height of the ADUs? Go ahead, Commissioner Winninger.
Sorry, for clarification. So the white line is basically the white line of the previous tract. And so the white line is the thing that I think what's getting tripped up is that pink, because you said there wasn't any sidewalks, but there's looks like a sidewalk to the adjacent tract. But then the white line, the white dotted line, is actually the dotted line for this development, correct?
So when you're referencing the white dotted line, just so I'm clear on where you're referencing, you're talking about where the pointer is currently down.
Yes.
That, I believe that's just a reference point. It's not actually representative of anything that's going to be built per se. It's just, I think it's just showing the path of travel. It's not demonstrating any kind of.
Because the alley, like the alley 26, does look like it goes through to the other development.
Okay.
And zoom in on the alleys just so you can see.
Sure.
Because the pink is pavers, and then that white line is just a center line. So it's not really there. It's just an engineering symbol, I guess you could say. But the pink you were seeing is pavers. And so, actually, I guess it's not really going to be able to see, even if you zoom in. The alleys are actually concrete. It's showing up as black in the exhibit, so it looks like asphalt, but they're not. They're... I believe it's 20 feet wide concrete, and then you have like 3 foot band of pavers on each side. So it's not a formal sidewalk, but could be used as one. When you walk down the alleys, you kind of default to it. I think it does slow traffic down because they feel like they're just supposed to drive on the concrete part. So there you can see it.
So at alley 26, for instance, looks like the alley continues into the next tract.
Well, you could go out to the street. I think, is that Goleta?
Yeah, Goleta. Yeah, Goleta's
another way to get in and out of that development.
Tracy Place.
So, well. If you have to go back to probably the overall slide.
Yeah, the one that I had. Yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm.
See how alley 26 looks like it goes to the other track?
Well, 26 dead ends at that house. It's 27 that goes out.
Okay.
If you scroll up to... Oh, one more. There you go. You can see at the Blackburn parcel where it's going out to
Tracy.
The
it's Tracy Place. Tracy. Yeah.
Okay, that's a little better. Yeah. Okay. Got it. Thank you.
In the block versus vinyl, if it's visible from one of the streets as opposed to alley, it's block. But if it's against an alley, then it's the vinyl. And that's how it is for the rest of Del Sol.
And then explain again the height, your question about the height of the ADUs.
Yeah, so the current ADUs that we are proposing would be 23 feet 9 inches in height, which matches, as far as conformity, all the other ADUs that we have developed or are currently developing in the community.
And that's different from what's already in here?
Yeah, I believe condition, I think it was condition of approval number 37, is mentioning a height limit.
If I may, Chair, the reason why this condition was added is because of the current urgency ordinance accessory dwelling unit, which restricts height of accessory dwelling units to 20 feet, 18 to 20 feet in maximum height.
It was previously 25.
Yes, it changed.
Which really contemplates two stories. The 20 feet just doesn't allow for it, not if you're going to have any kind of roof pitch.
I was thinking it was 25. So when
it,
when
it used it to be, 20? It changed. The laws were updated, as they are updated every year.
I mean, it basically makes it so you can't have a unit over your garage.
So does that require another exception or a variance that we're not prepared to deal with tonight? Like, I don't understand.
Based on the condition of approval, which is based on the ordinance, 20 feet was recommended by staff. As a discretionary approval, that was for a ministerial approval of a building permit only ADU. So as part of your discretion, the maximum height limit, and I'll have Valerie double check that, could be contemplated to be higher as part of a discretionary permit. So it would have to be a variance to do that. It wouldn't need a variance from height because the development would be allowed to have a higher height overall.
But we would need to augment the condition tonight.
Correct.
Okay.
And it should be noticed directly across the alley, we also have plan sevens with ADUs. So from a consistency perspective, they would match. And those other ones are already approved at the 23.9 inches.
Any other questions? Thank you very much for your time and your presentation.
Thank you.
Right, at this time, I'm going to open it up to the public hearing. Mr. Clerk, do we have any public speakers on this item this evening?
Thank you, Chair. We don't have any public speakers on this item.
All right, I will close the public hearing and open up to the commissioners for discussion. Who would like to go first?
So is the developer asking for 23.9 today?
Yes. They've requested it today.
It's in the staff report. Got it. Okay, got it.
Go ahead, Commissioner Zucker.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not enthusiastic about the lack of affordable housing in the project, but I do think the ADUs can provide some kind of naturally occurring affordable housing. There'll be, potentially smaller rentals, I hope to see. This is the first example of that I've seen come before me, and I would hope to see more of that potentially. And so I'm okay with the height of them. It sounds like it's consistent with what exists kind of and has already been improved kind of throughout the rest of the development, and so that seems reasonable and accomplishes something positive in my perspective. I like the bungalow court design. I think I love seeing, we don't have a lot of Ventura. I see them sometimes in Santa Barbara, bungalow courts. I think they're really great for community building. They just create a nice neighborhood where everyone's kind of facing each other, and kids can play in the center and things like that. And I agree that it does feel a little bit cut off, as our chair mentioned, but I hope that maybe it can be kind of a tight-knit community within itself, and if it still has access to the broader amenities, I think that's okay, even though maybe folks will have to kind of walk a kind of funky, circuitous route to get there. I generally like to see, if when we're giving a bunch of exceptions, something to the city or community in return. Would have liked to see some affordable units, but it does seem like we're getting something, which is that we're getting some open space, which wouldn't have otherwise been required in this project. And so, I think that seems reasonable. You're just kind of moving the setback space into a more centralized open space, which maybe is actually more useful and functional for the residents. I would say I'm not like 100% wildly enthusiastic about the project, but I'm good with it.
Commissioner Abbey, Commissioner Winninger, you have any final thoughts? Go ahead, Commissioner Abbey.
I'm a little concerned about the setbacks. I was hoping to hear if other commissioners had concerns. Besides that, it's sort of an imperfect layout of land, so it's not laid out how you would exactly want to see it, but I do think that the applicant has done a good job of making the best use of what is there. And I think the product, the quality, the look of the project looks very nice. I like the different colors, the different architectural schemes. I think those are very nice. And of course, providing 8 units with 2 additional ADUs is helpful. And the overall look of the project does fit in with the other phases. So I think overall, the applicant has done a very good job. Thank you.
I agree with my fellow commissioners. I think the project, first of all, the project is, you know, a natural progression for the other projects that are already approved. I think the exceptions and warrants that are being requested are just because of the tightness of the lot. I know that's a better word, but I'm not coming up with it. The constraints of the lot, and I like the project, and especially I like the ADU. I have seen your product have looked at the ADU situations, and I'd like to they're laid out, and they're the option for the owner to have that as an offset to their costs, and also an availability for rental, for an affordable rental. So I like the project.
I'm not super excited about this project either. I agree with my fellow commissioners, especially Commissioner Zucker. Like, I don't like giving out exceptions and warrants without something in return for the community. I don't think this project delivers. I do like the ADUs. There's no reason we could say no. I don't think there's any really strong reason to do that. And then the height, I'm fine with that, so we need to add that when we make a motion. Make sure we add that to that. That's totally fine. I have a little bit of heartburn over the layout. Again, there's nothing to do, but it feels really isolating for these 8 units. Walking around the back in these alleyways with fences, it just feels really confining and, I don't know, not super safe. And forcing them out onto the main street to walk around to get to the other amenities, I'm not in love with it. I get it. It's a layout issue. It's hard to get units in. I get that. So I don't think there's anything to be done. I'm willing to approve. I'm just not super excited about it. So that's all I have. So if anybody would like to make a motion, let's just make sure we have everything, which I think includes the exception and warrant and then the condition. Do we need to add the other conditions as well?
Yes, we would prefer that you add a clarification on the condition. I'm going to have Valerie pull up the condition number.
35, the one was added language, and then I also changed that. Was one of them.
We can bring them up on the slide that we went through. So planning condition number 36 regarding fencing, 41, 42, 43 from the Building and Safety Division.
You skipped 35. That was the first one.
Oh, excuse me. I did. Sorry. Planning condition number 35, which would have the comma and strike the word or. The addition of the language in 36 and striking the would. Additions of condition 41, 42, and 43 from Building and Safety. Condition number 91 from water. Striking condition 89 and 90 as being replaced by 91, and striking the original 92 and replacing it with the new 92 for Ventura Water. And then the last clarification requested by the applicant would be to allow the accessory dwelling units to be at a height of 23 feet 9 inches as requested. Correct.
I'll make the motion to approve what Shanna, Ms. Farley, just stated.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Maybe if I can comment, I wonder if the ambivalence of our planning commission here on this project is maybe the lack of, anyway, I don't feel excited about it enough to be, I do feel a bit ambivalent about the exceptions, and I wonder if it would be worth us asking the developer if they'd be willing to, consider some additional concessions to the city for the exceptions they're asking for. I'd really be interested in seeing maybe an increase in the in-lieu fees. I understand this project is under the old IHO, and you're not required to provide more affordable units, but we are giving some exceptions. We're not required to by state density bonus law, and so I think that's something I'd love to see, and be curious if the developer would consider it.
Just in response to that, we'd be open to discussing further with staff as far as the in-lieu fees, and we can certainly continue that discussion with them.
I'm not sure I quite follow the request. Just to be clear, the exceptions and warrants process requires the decision-making body to make certain findings relevant to the concessions and warrants. It's not really a quid pro quo kind of a situation. So we should be cautious about turning this into that type of dynamic.
Sure, that makes sense to me. I guess what I'm feeling right now is I think a lot of us on the commission are feeling a bit ambivalent about the project as it stands. I'm maybe open to having kind of staff take another look at this and work with the applicant to look at, you know, maybe what improvements could be made to the project, you know, of any kind. That's just my personal feeling.
Commissioner Abbey.
I understand the spirit in which Commissioner Zucker is proposing that. I have concerns, but I have to think, can I make the findings that would legally require, you know, be necessary for a denial? And I'm having trouble coming up with those findings, and I understand from the assistant city attorney that it can't be a quid pro quo, and so reluctantly, I will second the motion.
Mr. Clerk, could we...
Thank you, Chair. We have a motion on the floor. Commissioner Winiger?
Yes.
Commissioner McCarty is absent. Commissioner Abbey?
Yes.
Commissioner Zucker?
I'll give a reluctant yes.
Commissioner Comden is absent. Vice Chair Busa is absent. Chair Lagerquist?
Yes.
4 ayes. The motion carries.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, staff. Thank you, developer, and thank you, Commissioner, as always, for the good conversation, good discussion. So that's it for the evening. Does staff have a director's hearing update?
I do, and before we get into the director's hearing update, I did just want to let you know that the council chambers is actually going to be under construction through the winter to do some improvements to the chamber, as well as some of the other areas are surrounding the chamber, the restrooms directly outside, and the closed session room, likely through the winter. All of the city council meetings, starting with our next meeting, are going to be held at the Wright Library at the college, and parking will be available on site at the Wright Library. However, the Planning Commission will be held in the community meeting room next door, so we'll remain in this building throughout the process, but there will be some construction, so we won't have access to this room. It'll be a little bit different in that space, but I just wanted to make sure all of you know, and I'll send an email out to the whole group for those that are not here, but this is the last meeting in this location. And then I would like to go through the presentation about decisions that were made over the past few months at director's hearing since we haven't had a presentation in a while. We've actually had quite a light schedule, so you'll see there's not too many items. And thank you, Valerie. Next slide. Oh, here we go. The first item that was approved is 2711 Seahorse Avenue. This was a coastal development permit for a new two-story single-family home. It's a little over 3,000 square feet on a 4,500 square foot lot in the coastal zone, and this was approved as presented. Next slide. The next project was an exterior remodel of an existing two-story residence at 1339 Nathan Lane. Love Nathan Lane. And also in the coastal zone, so they required a coastal development permit, and that was approved as presented as well. Next slide. There was also an alcohol use permit approved at 1718 East Main Street for a new steakhouse called La Duquesa Steakhouse, and this is a Type 47 license, which is on sale general for both beer, wine, and alcohol. This is an existing building, and so a new tenant is coming in and requiring this alcohol use permit, and that was approved. Next slide. This is one of two this is a preschool that was approved at 1981 South Victoria Avenue. It's the Growing Minds Children's Center, and preschools do require a use permit. It's a new almost 7,000 square foot business that's going to be located in an existing commercial building, and this is in the Victoria Avenue corridor plan, and it was approved as presented. Next slide. We also had a minor sign variance for a Subaru dealership at 6500 Auto Center Drive. The Auto Center requirements are that the lettering cannot be over 32 inches, and they got approval for 36 inches, which is more in line with their sign standards, and it was approved as presented. Next slide. There was another, a daycare center. I apologize, the other one was a preschool. This is a daycare center, an office space in an existing building. It required a historic design review and a use permit for the daycare center. It's called the Little Blue Crush. And this is at 557 East Thompson Boulevard and was approved as presented, and this is downtown. Next slide. The next item was an administrative coastal development permit at 1113 Bath Lane. This is the McAvoy residence, and they were doing an addition, both 175 square foot addition, a remodel, and then they did some exterior changes to the structure itself. It's a 3,400 square foot site, again in R2B in the coastal zone. Next slide. This is the Powers residence. They requested a minor variance to setbacks, yard, and lot coverage at 2229 Sunset Drive, so just up the hill. And this was minor variance, as I said, and basically they constructed a 252 square foot deck, and it also was a request to legalize an existing 10 foot tall hedge in the front yard. This was a long-term code enforcement case. So this came to a close and was approved as presented. Next slide, that is it. So again, we had a fairly light past few months of director's hearings, so I'll try to have these at each of our meetings to catch you up. Commissioner Abbey?
Yes, thank you, Director Diamond. Rachel, I was wondering on project number four, you said the preschool center was at 1981 Victoria. It looked like it was on a corner. What's the cross street?
It's Moon Drive, South Victoria and Moon.
If I might add, it's right next to the Starbucks on Victoria.
Oh.
You can see the driveway just next to
it. Is it the office building right on the corner?
It is, yes.
Oh, okay. So, right. Okay, I understand now. And that's going to be. Oh, okay. Very good. Thank you.
Any other questions? Great. Well, as always, thank you so much for being here today and always. And for those of you watching at home, we still have our general plan, and for the planning commissioners, our general plan draft and EIR draft is posted online at planventura.com. and our public comment period is through August 14th. So if you have any additional comments or people at home watching have additional comments, please check out our website, planventura.com. Thanks.
Thanks, Nicole. All right, with that, I think I will adjourn for the evening. Thanks, everybody.